That's all it says, silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our Sabbath service. Let's all sing hymn 85.
In this, the closing days of the world, one joined the glorious home of us. Let soon, O wondrous robes of love, He shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming soon, He's coming soon. With joy, we welcome His returning. It may be moon, it may be night or moon, we know He's coming soon. The signs around in earth and air are painted on the starlit sky. God's faithful witnesses declare that the coming of the Savior draweth nigh. He's coming soon, He's coming soon. With joy we welcome His returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon, we know He's coming soon. The dead in Christ beneath us lie, in countless numbers all shall rise. When through the portals of the sky, He shall come to prepare our paradise. He's coming soon, He's coming soon. With joy we welcome His returning. It may be morning, maybe night or noon, we know He's coming soon. Living here remain, call up shall be our faithful Lord. He's from the portals of the sky, He shall come to prepare our paradise. He's coming soon, He's coming soon. With joy we welcome His returning. It may be moon, it may be night or noon, we know He's coming soon.
Thank our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we shall say our prayer. So in our prayer, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ to guide and lead us in our service this afternoon. Shall we now, in the name of Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. First and foremost, we give all the glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven. And we thank our grace of our Lord Jesus that this afternoon we are able to gather here to worship God. At the same time, through this online service, we are able to be encouraged with the Word of God. So we pray that the Spirit of God will be able to guide us as we study the Word of God, as we study the Scriptures together. This afternoon, we would like to share on the topic, to train in godliness in perilous times. First of all, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. So here it tells us, discerning the times is something which is critical in our lives today. So in 2 Timothy, actually Paul at that time discerned two kinds of times. First of all, we see chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought, let's see verse 6 first. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. So here, Paul knew that his time of his departure has come. Then, verse 7. So therefore, since he knows that his time of his departure had come, he has, verse 7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Then verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So now Paul knew that his time had come. So therefore, there is laid up for him the crown of righteousness. When he looked backwards, he indeed had accomplished a lot in his life and all that he needed to do in this life. But as he looked forward in his life, it was not in vanity, for he was not only able to enter the kingdom of God, but he knew that the crown of righteousness was awaiting him. He understood this time very well. So he took this opportunity at that time to instruct Timothy how to be successful in the ministry. So as we age, we can see that when our body is becoming more and more useless, and our heavenly hope has become more and more alive, it is then we would look more highly upon the faith of our family. So we seize every opportunity to bring them to the Lord and to revive their faith. This is the first time that Paul discerned and he knew about this time. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, so here we read of Paul's understanding of the world and times that he was living in. Let us read this verse again, 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. So when did these last days begin? It is when God saw that the sin of man had already reached its peak, just like during the days of Noah. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6 verse 13. Genesis chapter 6 verse 13. Genesis 6 verse 13 tells us, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So here God told, after that, God told Noah to build the ark. And in the last days, before the day of judgment of God, God also intended to build this ark out of his mercy and compassion. That is the ark of the last days that will be able to lead to salvation. That is also the true church that saves in the last days. Therefore, the establishment of the true church that saves in the beginning of the last days. In the last days, there will also be perilous times. As we have already read in Matthew 24, it tells us of the external perils and dangers that will occur, including war, pestilence, famine, and earthquake. But all this can only kill the body and not the soul. So in the last days, the greatest peril is that one will destroy our soul and place it in hell. Meaning to say, it will destroy our faith. This is the greatest peril that one would face. And then so let's turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now let's see from verse 2 onwards. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verses 2 onwards. Let's see verse 2. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Verse 3. Heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. Verse 4. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5. Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. So here we can see from verse 2 onwards, Paul specifically named the perils in the last days. And we can notice, if we were to study in detail about these perils, all these are spiritual. And some of it are not easily discernible with our eyes. But we are able to see all this very clearly, especially from the teachings of the Bible and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So from verse 2 to verse 5, we can see all of it or even we can say almost all of it, are fulfilled in this generation. Therefore, it is difficult and more challenging to pass our life of faith in this generation. So let's see a few points. Let's see verse 4. 2 Timothy 3 verse 4. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Many today, they pass their lives by the standard or measure of enjoyment. If it is enjoyable, their lives are considered as good lives. This is the good lives, the goal of the lives of many people in this world. How would this in turn affect our faiths? Because we will love pleasure and no longer love God. So can pleasure exist together with God? Can it be so? Of course not. From the Bible, pleasures are only worldly, and the world cannot exist with God. But this does not mean that after we believe in God, we would not have any happiness whatever. But the scripture tells us the true happiness is what we have is in the grace of God. When we are able to count the grace and the blessings of God in our lives, we are filled with thanks. Secondly, our joy is also in the faith, where this joy is from God Himself. Therefore, the Bible tells us that there's another source of joy. Let's turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 to 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing pleasure or doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly. Verse 14. Then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you right on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So here it tells us on Sabbath day is to be able to have God as our joy. This should be our goal. So today when we are able to come to church to study the Word of God, to study God, and to be able to understand all this, this will be able to bring great joy to us and even to be filled with the Holy Spirit, such a joy. And this type of joy cannot be found in this world. Still remember when we first received the Holy Spirit, how joyful we were. On the day of Sabbath, when we are able to gather together in the house of God, to worship God, to pray to Him, isn't it a joy? Of course, right now, because of the movement control order that is imposed by the government, we are not able to gather in the physical church to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters, to be able to join in the church activities and prayer. Of course, many of us really hope and wonder when will this day end, and so that once again we'll be able to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters and our Lord Jesus. So at that time, we still remember that it's a great joy to be able to gather in the house of God. Therefore, when we have love for one another, when we are able to care for one another in the church, such joy is indeed a great contentment. Therefore, our joy must improve from the state that it is no longer worldly, but to a joy in the Lord. That is also a joy in faith. So if our hearts are filled with joy, just like when we are being filled with the best food, with the best dish, we will not look for any other food or any other worldly things that would bring us happiness. And this to us is true liberty, is true joy indeed. Let's see an example. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 verses 46 and 47. Luke chapter 1 verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Verse 47, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So this is the song of Mary. This also should be the goal of our life, that is to be able to rejoice in God. If we do not seek such joy in God, then naturally we would only pursue pleasures of this world. We will put our heart in this world. Then, as a result, we will continue to pursue the pleasures of this world. And as a result, we will slowly, slowly drift further and further away from the Lord God. So this is also one of the peril, one of the danger of the last days. Then we see verse 5. Let's turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having it the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. So here it tells us, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. So what is it meant by a form of godliness? It means outwardly it looks like a Christian, being very active in attending all services. Maybe even to quote Bible verses in their conversation. But in their daily life, they lack the real substance in faith. For the real substance of faith is manifested through the real transformation of their life of faith. And one of it is, of which is to have God as their joy, as their delight. So we should reach a point that when God fills us, to the point that we are able to resist the temptation of this world. Let's turn to what the Lord God at that time told the people through the prophet. Let's turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 2. Let's turn to the book of Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2 verses 19 and 20. Hosea chapter 2 verses 19 to 20. Verse 19. And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. Verse 20. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. So here these were the words of God to his people. Where in the spirit, our relationship with God is likened to a spousal relationship, or what we call as a marital relationship. And the relationship of God with the people at that time is a relationship of love. It's a one-to-one relationship, that one can fully enjoy this relationship. That's why in verse 19 here says, God will betroth to us forever, and he will betroth us in righteousness, in justice, in steadfast love and mercy. And then in verse 20, I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. So what God gives us is all this. He will give us righteousness, he will give us justice, he will give us love and mercy. And because of this relationship that the Lord has, we are able to know him. Then we continue to see verse 21. Hosea chapter 2, verse 21. And in that day I will answer, declares the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. Verse 22. And the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. So here it says the earth shall produce crops, and not only crops, but abundant crops. For this is out of the love of God. Just as what the Bible tells us in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verse 17, that the Lord has given us, giving us good, doing us good by giving us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying our hearts with food and gladness. And all this is because of the providence of the Lord God. Because of the providence of God, so towards the Israelites, as a wife, as a spouse, what was her response? Let's turn to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Verse 11.
Wadham wine and new wine, which take away the understanding. So here it tells us there are two things that enslave the heart. So in a marriage life, it is the union of two hearts, of two individuals. Our relationship with God is the union of the heart. However, here it says that man's heart has been enslaved. Many people, they worship God outwardly, having the outer form of godliness. But deep in their hearts, they are enslaved by this wine. Wine can refer to alcohol, but it also can refer to the pleasures of life or even the pleasures of this world. So as a result, man's heart, gradually they go away or drift further away from the Lord God. And then in chapter 4, verse 12, Hosea chapter 4, verse 12. My people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff give them oracles. For a spirit of boredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. So here it talks about harlotry. For at that time, the people have really gone to worship the gods, or what we call as idols. We all know that we do not worship idols. But deep in our hearts, let us ask ourselves, do we have other gods or other things to replace God within our hearts? So in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. Let's come back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. So that is why Paul at that time tells us we must know that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Or in certain version it tells us there will be times of peril. Then we come to see verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. So he says men will become lovers of self. They will be lovers of money, boasters, and proud. So all these are different forms of idolatry. Lovers of themselves. They will consider themselves or even consider ourselves first in everything according to our own needs. Different from the attitude of those who worship God. For those who worship God, they should consider all things from the perspective of God. God is our husband and we are his wife. Therefore, it is only right that we submit to him. But if we reverse this order, we only care for ourselves. Hence, our prayer is only telling God what we want to do. So this is a reversal of the order of faith. Isn't this a crisis of faith? So that's something for us to consider in these times. So what does God desire? Let's turn to the book of Micah. The book of Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. But this is what the Lord requires. That is to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. This is what the Lord requires of us. But this we know is getting more and more difficult. Because the entire thought of the society, when it teaches us, especially even from young, that we are to be self-centered, to pass a life on our own life, no longer to consider God. So when the culture or this trend of this world has already elevated the status of man to become just like God, then it is very, very difficult. Unless man is willing to lower themselves, to humble themselves, God will not be able to ascend higher in our life. So as a result, if we continue to elevate our status to be similar to God, our relationship with God will not be good. And in 2 Timothy, now we come back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with
conceit, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. So here it tells us, we become haughty and headstrong. Or in other words, we do all things whatever we feel is good. And the decisions that we make is based upon our own feelings, and God is no longer in the picture. We may have a form of godliness, but the power of it is lacking. So therefore, in these times, we need to know that indeed these are perilous times. And then we continue to see 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 to 8. Verse 6. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins, and led astray by various passions. Verse 7. Always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Verse 8. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. So there are also, in the last days, there will be people who like to seduce or even so-called to influence other people. So towards these people, we tend to lower our guards against these bad people. For these people do not have the real essence of godliness. In our generation, we need to have a sharp or even a quick discernment, and to be aware of the influences that is brought about the things and the people around us. Only then we will be able to see these things. Then we will not be very easily influenced by all this. Otherwise, we would be influenced by it. Without knowing it, we will be affected. So in this generation, just as Paul tells us, we need to train ourselves in godliness, because this is important. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the promised life, for the present life, and also for the life to come. So here Paul tells us of two kinds of exercise. Firstly, that is the bodily training, the physical exercise. Today we know, as we age, we need to exercise. Now, secondly, he also tells us to exercise in godliness. Of course, bodily exercise or physical training, the value or the profit is little compared to the training or the exercise in godliness. So what do we mean to be trained in godliness? That is continually to train ourselves so that we are able to reflect the nature of God in our life. Just like Jesus, he was able to practice loving, mercy, fearing God, and to magnify God in his life. So this is also part of our training as a Christian. That is, we need to love, we need to show mercy, we need to fear God, and even to magnify our Lord God in our life. And through it, we will be able to walk with him. So this kind of progress then require us to be able to train in godliness. So what is the promise of the life to come? Well, of course, in verse 8, it tells us that if we are able to do so, it will only not only give us the promise of this present life, but more importantly, it's able to provide for the life to come. This is what we are looking for. So what is this promise of the life to come? That is the life in the heavenly kingdom. That is an eternal glory that the Lord God had prepared for all those who believe in him. So the righteous shall shine like sun, just as what Jesus tells us. And the scripture tells us, if we want to do righteousness, we will require this training, or rather to be able to exercise godliness in our life. Then in the future, we will be able to behold the glory of God. So what about the promise of this life then? So when we are able to draw closer and closer to the nature of God, we will be able to experience God more and more in our life. Some people in this life, they may wonder about this question. We have already believed in the Lord for such a long time, but yet we have yet to receive the Holy Spirit. So we will advise them to continually reflect
upon the word of God, to continually adjust our lives accordingly, then it will be easier for us to receive the Holy Spirit. And when we have improved in, and then as we improve in our spiritual nurture, then we will have the abundance of God. Then our prayers will become more and more effective, and we will be able to experience more of the Lord God. Or just like Jesus Christ when he was at the age of 12, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, let's see verse 49. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Verse 49. And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So here God was with him. Why? Because he was godly since he was at the age of 12. The generation that we are living in today is getting more and more ungodly because we are easily assimilated by the cultures of this world. But how, the question now lies, how are we able to train in godliness? So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul tells us about 3 points. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So this is also an answer of how are we to lead our lives in these last days, especially now when we are facing this pandemic. How are we to pass our life? First of all, let's see 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10. Verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and steadfastness. So Paul here set himself as an example. That is to say, we are to imitate the role models in the church. So what do we mean by doing church work or by doing holy work? That is to live out godliness so that others can also live in the faith. To look for role models in our faith, just like today when we observe Sabbath. When we are able to come and observe Sabbath, even though now our movements are restricted, but on the Sabbath day, we are still able to draw near to Him, to be able to come before Him in God-fearing heart. So to do all things centered upon Him. Just as what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So ultimately, we are to imitate Christ. Just as Paul who imitated Christ. We are not to idolize Paul, but we are to imitate our Lord Jesus. So our value concept must be established upon faith. So in the last days, indeed, truly, we need to have good role models. Alright? Then the second point, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So here it tells us that we must have the mindset or the readiness to suffer persecution. So in the last days, we know this persecution, there are different forms of persecution. Where if you talk about physical persecution, that is before Jesus comes again. So we must keep on keeping our faith, hold on to our faith, especially against the trends of this world. Just like Daniel in Babylon, that at that time he was able to withstand the trials that was given to him. Therefore, at the end in Babylon, indeed at the end, we know that he had to face the kings, Nebuchadnezzar and others. But he was able to withstand. So as a result, in the book of Daniel tells us, there was no fault found in him. He had good spirituality. Even though he had to suffer so much persecution, but he already prepared for himself. And we know that the Lord God was with him and protected and preserved his life. And then thirdly, what are we to do? Just like, of course, before we go on to the third point, that today in the last days, we know that there are so many concepts of this world that are terrifying, are horrifying. And all this has caused us to become fearful in faith. And also so that our faith will be shaken. So dear brothers and sisters, in these last days, we need to be very careful in this world. We see the concepts of homosexuality, abortion, and even concept of sin in these last days. So as a result today in this world, when we say we do not do all these things which are wrong, we become a lonely man, a lonely soul in this society. But as in the Christian world too, there are so many types of faith, concepts of faith, concepts of Trinity, concepts of one true church. All this has started to waver and started to change. And if all of us, brothers and sisters, if we are not watchful, we will also fall into the trap. That's why, thirdly, Paul told Timothy. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So in the last days, what are we to do? Chapter 3, verse 15. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and proved profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So here Paul tells us very clearly that in the last days, we need to understand the scriptures. That's why today in these last days, once again, let us, dear brothers and sisters, use this time to equip ourselves with the word of God, to enrich ourselves with the Word of God, to continually read the Bible, to continually ponder and meditate upon the Word of God. There was once a preacher who said, the Bible has 1,000 over chapters. One day, if you read a chapter a day, 3 years we need to read the whole Bible. If we read 3 chapters a day, in 1 year, we can complete the whole scripture. But now, since we are so free, if everybody of all of us, we take an opportunity to read 10, 20, 30 chapters a day, probably we will be able to finish the scriptures in a short time. So we pray that our Lord Jesus Christ will continue to give us strength, especially in these last days, so that we will be able to know the Word of God, so that in the end, we will be able to train ourselves in godliness, especially in these perilous times. So we pray that our Lord Jesus Christ will be able to help us. So we give all glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven. Now let's sing our concluding hymn, Sing Hymn 87. Sing Hymn 87.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall depart and right and left, are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming, there's a bright day coming by and by. But this brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord, but it's the day to come. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his groom depart, I know he not. Are you ready for the day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
We give thanks to our Lord Jesus, and now we shall say our prayer.
So in our prayer, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ to continually guide and lead us, so that in these last days, so we are able to prepare ourselves, so that we are able to train in godliness, especially in these perilous times. In our prayer, we also pray for the country, we also pray for the church, we also pray for our brothers and sisters, those whom all of us we know who are not feeling well, whether physically or spiritually. So we pray that Lord Jesus Christ will continue to shower His blessings and protect and preserve each and every one of us. Let us all now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Savior, hear my humble cry. Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. One on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Our service shall end here. All glory to God. Amen.